Hi, this is Lori Janik. Welcome to the Legal Affairs Podcast Series with your host, Finley P. Maxson.
Welcome to the February podcast. Recently, NAR has received questions from real estate professionals who have been approached by loan servicers about contacting consumers for a potential deed in lieu transaction and whether real estate professionals can receive a fee for these services. While this is mainly a state law issue, and so licensees need to check to see what their real estate license permits them to do, nevertheless, this podcast will highlight some potential legal risks for real estate professionals to consider. Joining us this month is Charles Dawson from NAR's DC office to provide some background on the issue. Charlie is a policy representative / financial services in NAR's Government Affairs Division. Welcome to the podcast, Charlie.
Thank you, Finley.
First, can you describe a deed in lieu transaction and when this might occur?
Sure. A deed in lieu transaction is a transaction that happens when a mortgage company lets a borrower give the title back, transferring the ownership of the property back to the mortgage owner. The mortgage company usually allows this transaction when a homeowner is underwater on their home or owes more on their home than the home's value and is unable to continue making payments. And in order to avoid foreclosure, the mortgage company may allow a borrower to proceed with a deed in lieu transaction.
So one of your roles at NAR is working with the GSEs, Fannie and Freddie, on their policies, as well as working with some of the larger national banks. Based on your experiences, can you give us some background into the current deed in lieu environment?
Sure. Recently, as you said, I've been working with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who are the government-sponsored enterprises, or GSEs, who typically purchase mortgages from mortgage originators. The number of underwater borrowers, Fannie and Freddie have been looking at ways that they might be able to facilitate deed in lieu transactions in a more streamlined approach. One of their thoughts was to reach out to NAR and discuss the opportunity or the possibility of real estate agents helping facilitate deed in lieu transactions. Additionally, a number of the large banks that we regularly speak with also wanted to look into the possibility of having agents help perform deed in lieu transactions. We discussed a number of the potential risks, and both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac went back to check with some of their legal department to see if this is something that we could help facilitate. Now, a number of the issues that we have seen is oftentimes when a short sale is drawn out, some of the banks would like to offer deed in lieu transactions. There hasn't been a significant increase in this, so in a way to look at the possibility of having agents do this, Fannie and Freddie continue to look at ways to operate the deed in lieu transaction in a more efficient manner by having agents complete the transaction on their behalf.
So why do you think it's important for NAR to put out these guidance materials about the risks that real estate licensees may face for entering into a deed in lieu transaction?
Well, we here have received questions from all over the country with a number of banks and mortgage servicers asking about the possibility of having agents perform deed in lieu transactions. Oftentimes, agents who are performing short sales will be one of the direct contacts with mortgage servicers, and those loan servicers will ask the agents if they could ask the borrower if they'd be interested in a deed in lieu transaction. There was a number of questions brought up at the Conventional Finance and Lending Committee about the possibility of having these transactions be run through real estate agents. But as we talked about the possibility of doing this, a number of risks were identified by the Legal Affairs Department in Chicago. I know, Finley, you had looked at a number of these options, and I was wondering, I think the best thing to do is if you could discuss some of the potential risks that NAR Legal Affairs has identified for a licensee representing a consumer in a deed in lieu transaction.
Sure. So the risks are, this is mainly a state law issue. You know, as we know, real estate licenses are granted state by state, and there's some differences sometimes in the law. But generally, looking at this issue, we've seen a few things that could be triggered by a licensee entering into a deed in lieu transaction while representing a consumer. First of all, the deed in lieu transaction represents a contractual negotiation between a consumer and a lender. A real estate license generally allows the licensee to represent a consumer in the buying, selling, or leasing of an interest in property. And so negotiating a contractual relationship is usually not something that's covered by that license. So the unauthorized practice of law is a potential risk for a licensee representing a consumer in a deed in lieu transaction. Another risk could be no E&O insurance, because if it's an unlicensed activity, the licensee may not have E&O insurance for the transaction. Third possible risk is having to make certain disclosures. The MARS rule, if we all remember that from a year ago, specifically lists offering to negotiate a deed in lieu transaction on behalf of a consumer as a MARS service. So if licensee does represent a consumer in this, they may need to comply with MARS, because this may be something outside of their real estate license, which was what the forbearance that NAR helped negotiate with the FTC covered. And also, a number of states have enacted laws similar to MARS that also either require disclosures or licenses. So those laws may also be triggered if a licensee undertook to represent a consumer while negotiating, you know, a deed in lieu on their behalf with a lender.
That's great. Thank you. I think one of the other things that would be good is if we could give listeners an opportunity, if they wanted to learn more about this, about what their license permits, where could they learn more about this?
Well, a good source would be the State Realtor Association, so they could contact either the state legal helpline or contact the state association directly to see if they could help them determine what activities the state license allows the licensees to undertake. Another possible source could be the State Real Estate Commission, although they may not be the best source for these questions, because they generally focus on what the license permits, not what activities are outside of the license. Also, NAR is putting together a deed in lieu page on realtor.org, where we'll have a link to this podcast and also a Q&A on the potential risks for licensees engaging in a deed in lieu transaction. Well, Charlie, thank you for that valuable information. Links to the deed in lieu page are available on the Legal Affairs podcast.
And Finley, thank you all for your help on this issue.